Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Black and White Reviews, because that's what I say, and my name is Lee.
My name is Chuck, and you usually say, hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Black and White Reviews.
No, I don't.
My name is Will.
And today we're going to talk about a favorite of mine that apparently you guys hate, which is great. 1994's Forrest Gump.
Yeah. Why'd you say you guys?
You guys. I'm sorry, did I assume your gender? I mean,
you guys assumed that both of us hate this movie.
Well, you guys, neither of you wanted to do it.
I never said I didn't want to do it.
Oh, okay, well.
I was the one who gave the okay to do it.
Okay, fine, whatever.
It was either that or five words being said in the movie with Castaway.
Whatever. Wilson, help, ouch,
Spalding.
No,
I have made fire.
Something else.
I know.
I have made fire. Yeah, so we were at a toss up. I actually had a list of like six different movies, and I'm like, all right, Forrest Gump. And you're like, no. I'm like, fine, then Castaway. And you're like, no.
No, fine, no, 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 no. You went, I have two options, Forrest Gump or Castaway. And I think my response was, ugh, neither.
Yeah, well, at that point. Yeah, so I want to talk about, so obviously back in 1994, I saw this movie. I don't think I saw it in theater, but I do remember watching it like right away and really appreciating the soundtrack. The soundtrack for this movie is fantastic. It's a two disc. Pretty sure I still have it somewhere. I know there was a red disc and a blue disc, and it all just kind of went in order of, I think it went in order of when they were in the movie itself. I got into a lot of my taste of music because of this movie. Now, I forgot who, it was a comedian who said it at one point. They said, they were talking about the different wars, and they said, Vietnam War, best soundtrack. And that's pretty much what this movie is, because it goes through from the 50s all the way up to really the 70s, I guess, right? 70s or early 80s, as mm-hmm. far as the music that's in it. So for me, this movie is very much, it's like everything pop culture I ever learned, I got initially from this movie, learning about the presidency, you know, the different presidents that came through, and music as well. So this was huge for me. I mean, 97, I wasn't very old. What's that? Or sorry, 94. So I was seven. That's why I chose this. And looking back at it, I appreciate Robert Zemeckis. I think that he has a lot, that come into it, the movies that he does. I mean, he did this, he did Castaway, he did Polar Express, he did Back to the Future trilogy. He did that Christmas Carol that was CG that had Jim Carrey. I mean, for what it was actually pretty good. A little twisted, you know, because Jim Carrey did what he did with it. But I mean, honestly, I've never had an issue with Zemeckis, and you know, I appreciate what he did here with the story. I mean, you took a character that was very much you know, normally would be looked over, passed over. But then they gave him like this amazing story, like all these things that would never happen to one person happened to one person who was very unlikely to be the person it would happen to. So that's why I chose it. But I'd love to hear why Chuck hates this movie so much. So, Chuck, what are your thoughts?
Who said I hated the movie?
Okay, well, I want to hear your opinion on this movie then, Chuck.
So it's not my first choice.
Of course.
I'll be honest. I haven't watched this movie in over 30 years.
Or really?
30
oh.
years. Yeah.
Okay, so you just remember the mainstream jokes about it, and that's about it when you first saw it.
No, I remember the movie.
Okay.
And...
Oh, I forgot, because 30 years ago for you wasn't that long.
Just going to keep it going, aren't you?
I'm going to keep it going. Just like you guys keep talking about my mustache, I'm just going to keep on talking about how you're old.
I'm like 6 years older than you.
Yeah, but you're also in another decade.
5 years older than you. Uh-huh. Not. We were born the same decade.
No, you're now.
Oh my gosh. This movie, there was so much hype around this movie when it first came out and throughout a lot of the middle of the 90s. And it's an over 2 hour drama.
Mm-hmm.
That you're right. This stuff wouldn't happen to a normal person, much less this guy. And the movie is so self-aware that there is a line in the middle of it that gives the whole thing away, that makes it self-aware of how ridiculous this really is. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching it going, this Tom Hanks, fantastic actor this whole film.
Oh, yeah.
He does a great job. Lieutenant Dan does a great job. The story is, so I was, what I was saying to Will is, when you have a science fiction or an action film or this crazy off the wall movie that, you know, like you have to suspend belief to enjoy the movie, like Star Wars.
Suspend disbelief. Yeah.
You have to do all of that to watch the film. I'm fine with that. Typically when you watch a drama, you're watching a drama because you're watching a lot of potentially realistic scenarios happening to people. This is all unrealistic. None of this would happen. Zero of this would happen. It's a drama. It's 2.5 hours. It's drawn out. And it was all done because in 94, the big thing that hit I think the number one reason why this movie was done was because in the mid 90s is when they had the big outbreak of HIV. So they had to somehow maneuver that into a movie and make it a love story that's a drama, and they did it through this movie, and they never even say it. There's this unknown virus that I have and blah, 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 blah. But they had to do it this way and make it, you know, so I think the acting of him was fine. I think the story was overdone. I think that it was over dramatized. I think that none of it is possible. Much less potentially one thing, but everything that happens to him is so unrealistic and impossible that it lost me in the first 20 minutes of the movie.
Now, are you saying that there's not a single thing that happened that could happen to him? Or you're saying the fact that all of these things happened to him is not possible?
Okay. To him, none of it would happen.
Really?
Someone being autistic as him. Someone being as autistic as him, first of all, would not be on a college football team. Second of all, would not be in the military in that time frame. Today, maybe. But in that day and time, it would not be allowed.
I have to push back. I have to push back on that a little bit. Anybody would have been brought into Vietnam. If you were able-bodied, yeah, you were going to Vietnam. Yeah. Your education really didn't matter there at all. They were looking for anybody and everybody who was capably able of doing that job. And
true.
Even if you are autistic, hey, if you could pick up a rifle and shoot, if you can, you know, dive to avoid getting shot, you're going. I have to push back on that one just a little bit.
Okay.
They were everybody.
Which is fine, but the line that's in this movie when he's like, how smart you are, the U.S. Army could use someone like you because of how brilliant you are. That right there. The fact that they made him go from the Army to, you know what, maybe you're not supposed to be on the battlefield. You're supposed to be playing ping pong. That's fine. But being in the White House twice for two different reasons, all of these things that happened to him, he's just in the right place at the right time all of the time. All of the time.
Yeah.
Literally all of the time. And yeah, it just, and the fact that he actually ends up with her, it's to be honest, do I hate the movie? No. Is it okay? Do I think, film-wise, the way that it was filmed was fantastic. The way that Tom Hanks plays this character is fantastic. Outside of that, I'm probably gonna get like ripped apart by so many people for this. I'm not an overall. If you never mentioned this, I would have been happy never watching this movie again. Ever. This movie is ridiculous. It is dumb through and through because none of it would happen. And it's meant to, it's written like it's possible that all of this could happen. No, they took Rain Man and they made this movie like it was no. And the only reason at the end of the film why what happens with her is what happened, like, yeah, they, like, is because she knows that, you know what? She used him at the end of the film. She uses him. She doesn't love him. She used him through the whole film and then used at the end. And no. Nope. No, no, no. Nope. I don't get how anybody watched this movie for 2.5 hours and said, I want to watch this over and over and over and over. And there are funny parts to the film. There are some funny things that happen. There is craziness that happens. The way that it was shot was fine. Again, the acting by Tom Hanks was fine. Everything else, though, nope. Totally lost me. And I'm probably going to be the only person in this group that's going to be saying this the entire time. But no, totally lost me. Not the right movie to suspend disbelief for. But now that I just pissed at everyone's Cheerios.
No, keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going.
Well, I will in spoiler territory. We can get into more, but I just, there's just so much that just, no. Like I said, I haven't watched it since the mid-90s, and then after this, I'll probably never watch it again. I have no desire to. My biggest question is this, and I'll say this part because it's not really spoilery, but when Lieutenant Dan wants to become his first mate, and he jumps off the boat, and the boat is going downstream, and then all of a sudden it turns around and it crashes into a barge over here.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
There's nobody on the boat.
No.
How?
I just assumed that the wheel was just turned.
it's going in
a big loop.
They're on a river.
I thought about that too.
They're on
a river
going with no.
You find shrimp in the river? I thought shrimp was like
he's docked water. In the river. He's using that to go out.
Yeah,
the ocean.
Yeah,
but and then out of all of the boats that are like. How is it this boat is the one that survives?
Lieutenant Dan.
and there's no way.
He said, he's like, you're never going to sink this boat. that's why.
Okay.
Anyway.
So go ahead, Will.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I agree with everything that Chuck said about this movie. I don't hate it though. I absolutely don't hate it. Is it one of my favorites? No. It's not probably, if I had to like rank like my top 10 or top 20 films of all time, it wouldn't even make it there. If you're gonna tell a story about the most contentious time period in American history, 50s, 60s, 70s, you could do a lot better than have it through the eyes of an idiot. That's the big problem that I have with this movie, where you're telling the story and you're going through this really weird and complicated and contentious history period, but it's like you're telling it from the point of view of an idiot that none of it affects at all. It affects the audience because the audience is like, oh my God, this, that, and this situation and this when this event happened and that. But the idiot doesn't care. And I feel like you can, like, look at it, like, through a certain lens. Like, the juxtaposition of that is the average person is not affected, nor does the average person care all that much about, like, these big significant moments in history. So I guess you can look at it like that if you want to. And that's where I agree with Chuck about everything. None of this would ever happen to one person. None of the situations in this movie would ever happen to somebody who is this autistic, with the exception of maybe going to Vietnam, because he wasn't like full on autist, but he was close enough that he wasn't gonna like surpass a certain IQ. He was never gonna be like an engineer or anything like that. He's just, you know, your typical layman. That's what I have to say about that. And again, we're going to get into a lot more detail later about, you know, the situations that this person finds himself in. And I think each and every single one of them are absolutely ridiculous. This should have been a more serious movie if you want to tell this story. And it should have been from several different point of views, not just one, because it absolutely destroys like a lot of credibility. However, I debated on whether or not I was going to say this. And I've been thinking for a while about how I wanted to approach this. So if any of this sounds planned or like rehearsed, it's because it was. I've been talking to myself about this for a few days now. The movie hits me on an emotional level for two reasons. One, my mother died of AIDS. Two, I fell in love with a Jenny. I have something like that in my past. And it sucks. It absolutely sucks to watch. And Forrest is not, he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand what's happening, but the audience does. And I understood what was happening, so it was like this big, massive emotional gut punch for me when I went through this time around. Because hindsight is 20/20. And this movie, like, opened my eyes. Well, not this movie, but, like, over the last, like, few years, I look back on my life and I go, oh, my God, this made sense, and this made sense, and this made sense, and this was this, and this was... Hindsight is 20/20. So watching this movie and having that all come kind of wrap around back again for me, it was this, like, massive emotional moment for me. So in that regard, I kind of love it because I can relate to that, but only that. Like, that's the only part about this movie that I love. Everything else is ridiculous. And I agree. Everything else is absolutely ridiculous. Are there funny parts? Of course. Is this my favorite Tom Hanks? No. I don't even think he acted this all that well, because I think he went a little overboard.
Not according to Osiris, Major Osiris Downey Jr.
Sure. I mean, you never go full retard. But he didn't go full retard, but he went like there enough where it was like, I don't know. I don't know. The whole, so, like, how, and we'll get into it later, but, like, as an example of what I'm talking about, he went a little bit over the top. Everybody, no matter how, where you are on the scale of IQ, you should be able to grasp the concept of football and running in a straight line. Why do they have that ridiculous scene where it's like, no, you're going the wrong way, go the other? And he, are you serious? Even the water boy understood running a straight line. And he was way more stupid than this Forrest character. And it's ridiculous that something like that happened. In instances like that, and it's the only one that'll give away here. In instances like that, yeah, he was way over the top about a lot. And
a lot of stuff.
I think it's kind of a smack in the face to people who do suffer from mental retardation or even low IQ. Like, a character like this being this down, this dumb, is horrible. It did not do very much for me at all.
And I think to your point, though, not to cut you off, is you had mentioned the whole Jenny aspect of it. If that was that was like the center of the story, was him and Jenny.
Right.
And we understand that. And there's all this stuff in life that was going on. If they gave him one thing throughout this 30 year time frame from when he meets Jenny till what happens,
and there's HIV, right?
What?
Because somehow he's okay. Or is it the sequel that they explain it?
What?
Huh? Continue. Go ahead.
No, so the whole movie from beginning to end is about that. If they gave him one thing, and they were flipping back and forth to what she was doing in the coming in and coming out of what, you know, in and out of his life and doing all of this stuff, for me, that would have been fine. So there's a movie called I Am Sam, yep. And it has Dakota Fanning and Sean Penn. And Sean Penn, he is an autistic. I think he's autistic. He may even have Down syndrome.
No.
I think he might have Down syndrome. No. Either he's autistic. He has one of the two. I think it's more autistic. But he it's this whole court case of him trying to win custody of his daughter because the state is trying to take her because they're saying that he's not qualified or fit to take care of her. And there's this one thing that is the focus of this relationship, and he plays the part fantastic. And it's this back, there's all this other stuff going in and out. If they had done something like that with this movie, it would have been way better. The fact that they put him through all of this stuff and he was successful at all of this stuff, all because they're trying to prove one point. The public school principal or the auditor was wrong. Outside of that, no. And I agree with Will on everything he just said. So sorry to cut you off on that one, but it's too much.
I completely forgot where I was going. I think I'll piggyback on one thing that you said. If this movie was done a little bit differently, like, okay, so you said give the character one thing. If you want to give the character of Forrest Gump Vietnam, fine. If you want to give the character of Forrest Gump, you know, the Purple Heart and everything, like, despite being, you know, mentally unintellectual, stupid, if you want to give him, like, the Purple Heart for saving a bunch of people in his platoon, I'm okay with that. If you want to give him the shrimping idea because, like, his best friend and everything, like, that's a really feel-good story. And then everything else with his mom and Jenny you can rope into, that would be a really good feel-good story. And even if you wanted to tell it in the timeline that it is and just have all of these major events happen in the background and have Forrest be the character that does not care, that is not affected, that does not understand. What's important to him was, you know, Lieutenant Dan. What was important to him was his mother. What was important to him was keeping his promise to his friend Bubba. It was important. Jenny was important. Like, taking care of the people in his life that he cared about. And everything else that's going on, you know, Cuban Missile Crisis, Bay of Pigs, Kennedy assassination, MLK, and all this other stuff. If you want to have all that happening in the background and he's not paying attention, I would be even okay with that. I think that would have been a better movie. But to give this character everything in these major key events was way too much. And I think I'm done. I think I want to get more into specifics later on, but those are my thoughts.
So I'm going to say, before we get into spoiler territory, I'm going to say I think, so this movie came out in 1994, and the story itself, you know, with him on the park bench takes place in 1981. So I didn't realize it was that early, you know, and when I watched it in 94, I'm like, well, I guess now I looked at it, I'm like, there's no way he lived all this time and is this young. Oh, it's because it's 1981, not 1994.
Right.
So that makes sense. But I think the only thing that they were focusing on is, so in the early 90s, so I've spent many years working with or even just being involved in one way or another with people who have intellectual disabilities, you know, just because my mother worked in the field for years. I worked in the field for years. And in that, there's massive stigmas. So in 94, I think one big thing they were pushing was let's get away from the terminology, you know, like, you know, the DMR technology, or sorry, terminology, not technology, but, you know, the term retardation, you know, it became a word, you know, just like we did when we were younger, saying something like, oh, that's gay or whatever, like taking the term for something else and making it a negative thing. Oh, you're being retarded or whatever. It became a negative thing that you call something or somebody, as opposed to it was a very commonly used term way before that, but then it started becoming, you know, being used for something else and being ruined. So then it was like, okay, this is offensive now because people use this in a bad way. So they had to change the terminology. So what they were trying to show here, and I think that was the big push of the movie, not just, I mean, we're talking mid-90s, yeah, so there was a talk of HIV/AIDS. They didn't talk about it at all. They didn't say what it was. Is really trying to show an awareness of, you know, there's that line in Dumb and Dumber. It's like, senior citizens, although old and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose. I'll be right back. Don't you go dying on me. Like, funny line, but the idea that he's trying to do here is I feel like Zemeckis and the team who made this movie was trying to do is also say, hey, you know, look at somebody that we would see, you know, sitting on a park bench and like, are they stupid or just playing crazy or whatever? It's like, well, stupid is stupid does, but you realize, you know, this guy lived a ridiculous life. Now, it's way out there. It's even, you know, I would even call this fantasy in the sense that they went so far with the story, you know, very much like a Walter Mitty type situation where it's like, there's no way that this random dude would just go through all of this stuff after being like you know, whatever he did for work before that. Like, what he'd look at, like, negatives, like pictures? That's what he did. He was a negative reader. You know, like, this really boring job, just taking negatives and you know, developing them or whatever. That was that. But he goes off and has this grand adventure that's, like, ridiculous. Well, it's a very similar type story. It's kind of why I like both of them. Anything where somebody goes through this major, you know, journey, and then at the end, it's like, they either changed a ton, or, you know, in this case, he's kind of just oblivious to it. He just kind of did his own thing. But I think the big focus here was, as you mentioned, I agree with the HIV, you know, bringing that to light, you know, like, this was a big deal, let's talk about it. But also, I think the big thing was just showing that, you know, people with intellectual disabilities, you know, they can contribute to a lot. And it's like, you shouldn't just judge people and cast them aside because they're different in this way, you know, because their IQ is down to 61 or whatever they said it was in the movie. So I think that was the point of the movie more than anything. You know, and there's lines in it where he's like, I may not be a smart man, but I do know what love is. Like, that's a really big thing there. And it hits Jenny. And, you know, we've got this thing back
How's
and
it?
Forth. It hits Jenny because
we'll
Jenny, you can tell, like, throughout the movie, it's not spoiler in a sense, that she is conflicted, you know, because she knows that he's different, you know, but you can see where she's like, this guy actually cares about me and loves me more than anyone else, but he's different and I can't have a relationship with him. That would be weird, you know? So as the years go by, she finally realizes this guy truly does love me and he seems to really know what love is, and, you know, and then everything else. And she's got a kid with him and, you know, whatever. I mean, yeah.
So
love has nothing to do with this.
Zero.
Big fat zero. Love has nothing to do with Jenny and why she makes the decisions that she does. Nothing.
Zero.
So there is that. But I'm sorry to
we
cut
can,
you
we
off.
Can,
continue.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
We'll
that's
get
fine.
Into
we
it.
Can,
we'll get into it.
We can get into it at this point. Yeah. So, Chuck, you want to do your spiel?
Is it my spiel now?
It's your spiel.
Yeah, it's your spiel.
Yeah, you're the social media dude.
So if you want to watch the rest of this podcast, feel free to join us on patreon.com/blackandwhitereviews. For all things social media, you can find us on the YouTubes and Instagram at blackandwhitereviews1866, and you can find us on Facebook at blackandwhitereviews. Other than that, all of our podcasts, audio-wise, are all free on all podcasts or most podcast platforms. So if you're listening, continue to listen. If you're watching, join us at patreon.com.
Absolutely. Thank you
Absolutely.
Very much. Give
so
us
with
money.
That being said.
With that being said, go ahead. If you want to go first, go ahead.
Yeah, the conversation we were just having about Jenny, she gets knocked up. She has a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's his kid.
Uh-huh.
She made a mistake. She knows she's dying from HIV. She marries him so that her son has a father to stay with for the rest of his life. End of conversation. Love has zero to do with it. She's never loved him. She never will. She never has. I don't even think that when he makes that statement of, I may not be smart, but I know how to love, he's known her from a young kid to an adult for all of 5 hours of his life. He has no idea what love is. Zero. None of this is based on love. And there is, and if anyone wants to sit there and say, oh, I'm basing as a love story, it's twisted. No.
Yeah.
No.
You say that.
Not a chance.
You jumped on the whole thing about, you know, you've worked with people who are mentally disabled. And, you know, hey, yeah, don't just look the other way about them. I'm sorry. What you're saying is true. Don't look the other way when it comes to people who are mentally disabled. But at the same time, this movie is giving people with mental disabilities false hope. They are not teaching a pop star a popular dance move. They are not going to be a war hero that gets the Medal of Honor. They are not going to go to the White House twice to meet the president. They are not going to become a national sensation for joining a ping pong team. They are not going to run across America. None of these
three
things.
Three times.
None of these things they are going to do. They're not going to come up with the slogan of the century. They're not going to give the smiley face. None of this is going to happen for any of them. That's the point. It's giving a lot of people with mental disabilities a lot of false hope. And I think that's wrong. And I think it's disgusting on another level. Speaking about Jenny, nothing to do with love. Absolutely nothing. I don't even think that's his kid. I don't even think that's his kid. That's somebody else's kid. She has HIV. She wants to be taken care of. He's a millionaire because of a shrimping business. And she knows, oh, he's so like, he has such a big heart that he'll have to take care of my son. That's all it is for her. She uses this poor guy throughout this entire movie. Yeah. Come on.
I never said she loved him.
I don't think he loves her.
I don't think he knows what love is.
I think that line was a load of was croc when he
said
that.
I don't think
that.
He knows what love is.
I might not be smart, but I know what love is. No,
no,
you don't.
You don't. You have no idea. You don't have the first clue about what love is.
He is autistic, and he is stuck on this idea of this 9-year-old girl that he was good friends with because she was nice to him. Because she was the only one who was nice to him.
Yeah.
And he's stuck there. He hasn't aged from that point on in this relationship with Jenny. It's the same. Even when things happen, like when they're in the, when she's at college and her roommate, the look on her face is like, oh my gosh, what the heck is happening? And she takes her clothes off and she makes Forrest touch her. And what happens, happens. He reacts like he is like 10, not knowing what is happening to his body as a college age kid.
Yeah.
No idea. None. Zero clue. None.
Yeah.
And I feel bad because this is one of Lee's like best favorite movies.
Well, no,
and we're just crapping all over it right now.
We'll do Equilibrium, don't worry. We'll eventually swing back around to that.
I don't want to do that again. why would you put me through that?
The same. But to your point though, Will, like none of this would happen. Ping pong? I can see the ping pong thing.
I can't see any of this. I can't see any of this happening for this individual.
The reason why I see the ping pong thing is like even in Rain Man with Dustin Hoffman, the counting thing was his thing. The ping pong thing could be his thing.
Well, even the military thing. Like he was told to do a job and he hyper-focused on that.
He could take taking the gun apart and putting it back together, yes. Being on the front lines, no.
No.
Even when he's shooting, he's like he doesn't even know how to aim. No.
He doesn't even know when he's been shot. He thinks he got bit by a bug.
Something bit me.
It's that far out there with this character.
Well, they don't do like, you know, shoot you in the butt training, you know, it happens. How else would he know what that was?
I don't know.
He's carrying people out who have been shot and blown up.
Yeah.
In the middle of a war. And if it was, that's the point, though. If it was anybody else, they would know.
Yeah, I guess so.
And they wouldn't be running after they got shot in the butt.
Well, he didn't. He dropped.
No, he continued to carry him.
No, he dropped. He dropped. But then he like got back up and continued to run.
Yeah. They said it was a million-dollar wound, but government must have kept that because he never saw any of that money.
He doesn't even know. Like catchphrases, like
no,
but yet, and the part that makes this whole movie self aware is the guy on the park bench. Did you hear that? We've been talking to a millionaire.
Yeah,
the guy who owns. Yeah,
yeah.
Bubblegum shrimp. Are you serious?
And he's like so. He walks away in total disbelief.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, and again, I think that proves my same point, which is nobody would look at somebody who has this much of an intellectual disability and think that they ever did anything worthwhile.
No, nobody would look at anybody with a mental disability or anybody after hearing this story and went, that's all true.
Yeah.
If you told me that story.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't believe all of it.
Well, no kidding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But because he has autism, we should believe it.
Sure.
That's why it's a movie.
No.
That's why it's a fantastical movie.
It's not
fantasy.
It's not. It's drama. It's not fantasy. It is not in the fantasy genre. It is in the drama genre.
Right.
This is not fantasy. Is dragons and Lord of the Rings and damsel that we were talking about, that's fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
The Shannara Chronicles, that's elves and dwarves and mythical beings, that's fantasy. Huh? This is a historical drama that would never happen.
It's a loose historical drama.
The point is what happens in this movie. The fact that he goes face to face with the Black Panthers and he walks away fine. No.
Didn't need a fight in the middle of your Black Panther party.
The fact that he's talking about how he got his name. It's
General Nathan Bedford Forrest.
It's ridiculous.
You go around acting like some kind of ghost or something.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's a reminder of sometimes you do stupid things and you just don't know why.
So I understand now why John Travolta said yes to playing in The Fanatic. Because okay. That was the original choice for this role of Forrest Gump.
Yeah, he was considered. Yep.
And he said no, and then later on, John Travolta said it was a mistake to turn down that role.
Yeah.
So now I know why he did The Fanatic.
Could you imagine if John Travolta played this character, though?
Well, I saw The Fanatic, so yes, I can imagine what it would be like for John Travolta to play this character.
Yeah, poppycock. Poppycock.
Have you seen The Fanatic?
Yes, I watched it when I was working. Oh, geez.
We had a thing about
Jacksonville.
That. Yeah, I remember where you keep getting me. I watched The Fanatic. I'm glad I wasn't here to talk about that with you guys.
That was such a fun conversation.
It was cool. Geez. It was cool.
It was.
Go ahead.
But that's the thing, though. Is even in that movie, none of like, it wasn't meant to portray like real life. It was meant to portray like. And on top of that, the person who wrote the movie, like, you're not expecting much more from the person who wrote the movie.
Not really.
Fred Durst, like,
not really.
What else are you expecting from this guy? But
you like this? It's Limp Bizkit. Yeah, turn it up.
Right. But that's the thing, though, is this wasn't a big movie. The Fanatic wasn't like a huge hit. Yeah. Forrest Gump was a huge hit.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't think it should have been.
I don't know why this was as popular as it was. I look back on it and I'm like, I don't see.
Because two lines. Stupid is as stupid does.
Sure.
And
life is like a box of chocolates.
Life is like a box of chocolates. Yep. Outside of that.
No, and sometimes you just don't have enough rocks.
Sure.
There are a lot of lines in here. Lieutenant Dan, ice cream. You know, there's lots of lines that, for me, I quote throughout the week because whatever. This movie I watched a lot. As a kid, I thought this movie was great.
So Chuck
it now,
and
I go, wait.
Chuck and I have gone
things
through
things in here I shouldn't see as a kid, but whatever.
What?
You have a lot of notes.
Yeah,
so
it's just things.
Chuck and I have gone through a lot of the reasons why we don't like this movie. I went through a few reasons why I did like it. Why do you like this movie? What is it about this movie that did it for you when you were younger? Does it for you now as an adult? Like what? Like
aside from the soundtrack.
Aside from the soundtrack. So like I said, I mean, we're talking about it, and I know you're disagreeing with me saying it's not a fantasy. I understand it's not a fantasy, but neither is a sci-fi movie per se. But I appreciate the ridiculousness that is sci-fi, where it's like, whoa, this could never happen, blah, 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 add in all this extra stuff. I like the fact that they took this character who would normally not go through things and then just give him all the things. That's what makes it a movie. It's an entertaining thing. I'm not watching this to be like, let me watch this true story documentary about this dude that didn't exist. Like, that's not what I'm there to watch. I'm watching something entertaining. Like, man, imagine if this all happened to one dude. Like, I just thought it was entertaining in the sense where, as ridiculous as it was, like, imagine if that actually happened to somebody. That's crazy, you know? And the way that they made it all tie in one way or another, it's like, oh, well, because he did this, he got to go here, and he met the president, and he's like, never mind, you stay at my hotel. He's like, there's some people over there, and it looks like a fuse box went out or something. They got flashlights, and they're keeping me wide awake. Next thing you know, the Watergate scandal. It's like, because it tied into what just happened before. Like, everything tied in because he was going through all the generations and all this
stuff.
Yeah,
but it didn't tie in. He was the cause of it.
I know. And it's funny. It's funny to me. I find that humorous. The fact that they tied in all these things is just humorous. It's not drama. It's fantastical humor. Things that wouldn't happen, but it's funny because they found a way to write it into a story. You know? Like, that's what I like about time travel, because let's take Back to the Future. Obviously, another Zemeckis film. You've got this whole story where, you know, you've got this dad who he's, you know, he can't stand up for himself and everything. And you got the drunk mom. And then by the end, everything that they go through somehow ties in to make mom not a drunk and make dad stand up for himself. So when he goes back into his regular present time, you know, his the future, his present, everything's different. Like his mom is cleaned up and she's in good shape. And his dad knows how to stand up for himself and a successful writer, all because he bumped into them and changed something. Like, I like that type of story where it's like, because this one thing happened, they found a way to kind of like tie it into a ripple effect. You got him talking to Bubba throughout the movie, or there's that whole scene, this whole montage where Bubba's just talking about, these are all the secrets to shrimping. These are all the things you can make with shrimp. He goes through everything, and they spend, like, you know, a month or so just talking about everything. And because Forrest Gump just has, you know, whatever his brain can do, which is different than everybody else expected because his intelligence quotient wasn't at a certain level, he absorbed all of that information and went out and became, like, the most successful shrimper in the world. So it's because of all these little things that happened that you would think, like, oh, that's just a quirky, you know, character. It led to him being a millionaire, a multimillionaire. Like, it's when you can tie things in and have it make sense later on, whether it's believable or not, it was creative and entertaining. And that's why I like the movie, because it was creative, entertaining, and because of it, it made me laugh. Like, oh, imagine if that happened. You've got Lyndon B. Johnson, and I was always very confused when he says, oh yeah, I got shot right in the buttocks. And he goes, oh, really, you don't say, I'd very much like to see that. And then he goes ahead and pulls his pants down, and everybody's just like, oh, and he walks away like, oh, man, you know, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, you said you'd like to see it. Like, I'm not surprised he pulled his pants down. He clearly doesn't know what's going on, and he thought, like, well, you want to see it. The president just told me he wants to see it. Here you go. And then there's a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm just like, well, I guess the thing about LBJ is he had this thing about scars. I guess he, like, was showing off, like, one of his scars from something he got, some kind of wound years ago, and it was like, that's a joke on that, is that he had this thing where he'd like to compare scars with people. So that's why they threw it in there, and he pulls his pants down.
LBJ didn't know a whole lot of boundaries. This is a man who would start meetings amongst his administration on the toilet with the door open.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So
they were getting into.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like everything else. It was interesting. You know, you mix in, like, back then when they did the old TV footage and they changed the mouth and stuff like that, you got John Lennon. He's like, oh, really? Oh, no religion too? Like yeah. That's how we got the lyrics to Imagine.
Sure,
like,
sure it was. Forrest Gump, like, not only taught Elvis Presley how to dance.
How to dance.
He gave John Lennon one of the most iconic song lyrics ever recorded. Okay.
But the whole thing ties in there, like, okay, so the reason his legs were crooked, so he had these braces on, and that's how Elvis learned this, because he was, like, trying to move around to it. But it all ties into him, like, being such a fast runner, because he had good legs that were actually strong, but they were just crooked. And next thing you know, he's running everywhere. He's running. And everything he did in his story was just like, he ran. He ran here. He ran in the military. He ran there. He ran across the country multiple times. Like, then I got to the ocean, so I turned around and I just kept on running. You know, like, he just kept doing it. It all tied in. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's about the story. Like, I thought the story was great. It was creative how they tied in all these little things to make, as fantastical and ridiculous as it is, a cohesive story. That's good writing to me. Ridiculous, and because of its ridiculousness, it makes it funny. I wouldn't say, you know, go and say, this is the greatest movie that's ever been made, because it's like, it's so realistic, but it was entertaining because it was ridiculous.
See, I think it was so over-ridiculous that it lost its feel of entertainment.
Well, You can say that, but you can say, you know, it's your opinion. My big thing about this is the way it all kind of ties in. Was Jenny a jerk to him? Absolutely. The entire time. All she did was run away from him and basically let him do all the dirty work. You know, she's with a guy that's treating her like garbage. He steps in and punches him in the face, you know, or punches him repeatedly or whatever. Like, he kept stepping in and taking care of her. You know, at that line, she goes, why are you so good to me? Well, because you're my girl. You know, and it's like, in his mind, yeah. She never gave him, you know, anything to make him think that, except for kindness, you know, to him, you know, except for the fact that she kept on leaving him and saying, no,
kindness to
me.
Him when she was 9.
Right.
Uh-huh. Outside of that, she has never been kind to him.
Right. And I agree. She was a jerk to him the entire time. The only thing that struck me, and it's like, the thing is, Forrest, he's going through all this. He spends the night with Jenny, and then she just bails the next morning. You know, this is way later on in the movie. And he wakes up, she's missing, and he's just trying to process in any way that he can. He stands and stares at the bed, and everything is going through his head, but he doesn't know how to, you know, emote, because he's just confused. So he just gets up and starts running. He just runs.
For three years.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. But because he's like, what else do I have? What else? What else am I going to do? He's a millionaire. He can do whatever he wants. All right, go for a run.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. The part that really that brings in the disconnect is he is so disconnected from all of this.
He's not, though. He's just not showing it because he doesn't know how to show it. And this goes back to what we talked about. I'm going to bring Star Wars back up. Everybody was poo-pooing all over Hayden Christensen and how he portrayed Anakin, a kid who was born a slave and was oddly didn't know how to handle a lot of the things that were going through him and the things that happened around him. So if they were going to call Hayden a bad actor, that's exactly why George Lucas picked him, because he doesn't know how to show emotion the proper way, because his upbringing was being a slave. So
there's a big difference here. Forrest Gump in this movie, and I don't know if Chuck means something different. When I say disconnected, I mean he does not remotely understand the significance of the things that he's doing.
That's what I mean.
He uncovers and exposes Watergate in this movie.
Uh-huh.
And has no idea about it.
Because he's always focused on whatever's in front of him. Like, he does what he's told, and that's it. He stays in his swim lane. He's not sitting there watching the news much. The only time we see him watch the news is when the moon landing or something, and
I think
they're
it's
watching it together. Or,
no, they're not watching the moon landing. Because when they're on the moon, he's playing ping pong, and everybody in the hospital is watching him play ping pong.
Right, it's just fireworks that they're watching, and she goes to bed, and whatever. Yeah, that's whatever. But the point is, like, these things are kind of happening around him, but he's not paying attention. He goes, does this thing totally aloof, and then just moves on with his life.
No. And that's it. It's not that he's not paying attention. He is directly influencing things that happen.
So I'm gonna say this. Go ahead, you go first. I'll go after you.
So it's like you taught Elvis Presley like the first like big dance move, Ed Sullivan, blah blah blah. He did not understand the significance of what he did. That's what I mean when I say disconnected. Zero clue. He did not understand the significance of, you know, African Americans being able to attend college and him like directly intervening in that and giving like a book to somebody. Zero idea of how much he understands about autism.
How much do you guys understand about autism?
Because in this movie, you can't read a room.
Like, you can't read the situation around you because you're focused on your own things. So you walk into an environment I'm not saying everybody with autism, but it's a common trait of anybody who has like PDD or somewhere else in the spectrum of autism, where they don't understand what's happening around them.
That's not what he's saying, though. They're just in their swim lane.
That's not what he says.
That's not what we're saying, though. He can be in his swim lane.
Go ahead.
So the comparison that I do, let's go back to Dumb and Dumber, when he is the limo driver and he's talking to her through the back and he's driving through the red light and all the cars are having the accident and he just happens to make it through.
Yeah.
That's the comedic version of this entire movie.
Yeah.
That one scene is the comedic version of this entire movie.
Yes.
He influenced those accidents.
Yes.
He caused all of that to happen.
Absolutely.
And has no... But the thing is, though, is it's not like it is a thing. He caused every massive event in three decades to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
and has no concept of any of it.
No.
So I will admit I do not know a whole lot of what it is like to be autistic. I don't know what it's like to be in that situation. You have infinite knowledge over me in that department, which I'm fine with. But one thing I do know is that a really important thing to teach people with mental disabilities is accountability. Is accountability yeah. for your actions, and like you can directly influence certain situations, blah, blah, blah. Like that's really important. He mm-hmm. has zero awareness in this movie. And it's not the fault of Tom Hanks. It's not the fault of the character of Forrest Gump. It's the fault of the people who wrote this. It's the fault of the people who put all of these scenarios together. That's what I'm talking about. So the original novel, the movie, however you want to like paint that picture, when you have somebody, no matter who they are, no matter where they are on the IQ scale, at some point in your life, you have to step back and you have to say, I caused A, B, and C. And there's absolutely none of that in this movie. No awareness of anything at all. And it's just like, okay, so you are the most influential man in a 30, 40 year time frame, and you don't even know it. I can't get on board with that. I cannot get on board with any of that. I just.
And the fact that mom doesn't even like, mom sees him as a yeah. kid dancing with Elvis, and then sees Elvis on the TV, and she's like, this is perverted, get away. Like, you couldn't, she couldn't even put two and two together. Like, I guess I watched this movie, and I went, as soon as it was done, I went to myself, I said, I don't understand what the craze was about this, around this film back in the mid-90s. I don't understand, except for Tom Hanks playing this character and with his accent and the few lines that he says that everybody quotes, outside of that, because here's the thing, even in present day when he's on the park bench having conversation with people, he doesn't even realize that people are leaving and he's talking to somebody different. He is sharing with the last person the same way that he shared with the very first person that he talked with. They have no knowledge or understanding of the beginning of the story. So they come in at the end and they're hearing the end part of this story. And it's like, what is going on? I would be like, what are you talking about? Who are you? Why are you talking to me? None of that happens. They're all intrigued by his story. And he is talking on a park bench in this narrating sense that no one has conversation like that. So I don't look at any of this except for trying to bring people into the historicalness of what happens, like the points in history that kind of hit home, for like the 70s and the 60s and, you know, the civil rights movement and the sexual revolution in the 70s and all of these things that happen. And they're trying to bring all of that into a film. Great. I just think that they did it in the wrong way.
Now, you say that you can't understand the hype around this movie, and neither can I, but I can, if I had to guess, boomers just being nostalgic. This was yeah. a movie for boomers to go to when I remember that. I remember when that happened. That was an event. Oh my God, the moon landing. And you got all of that in like one movie with like a story right. about a guy. Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Okay. I'll
I
take
can
that.
See that. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. That's all it is. It's just entertainment. It's not, you know, they were not trying to make it realistic.
Oh, well, yes, they did.
Yeah, they kind of did try to make it realistic. Because I don't understand how you can say fantasy. There's no fantastical elements to the movie at all. Everything is pretty grounded in reality.
But go ahead. But you guys just spent the last like hour telling me how this is not realistic.
No.
Grounded in reality.
Grounded in reality in terms of like you watch a fantasy and it's like Stranger Things. There's a monster coming through a wall. That's fantasy. This is not
in this place called the Upside Down. The Vietnam War happened. The moon landing happened.
Yeah.
LBJ happened. FDR happened.
Yeah.
All of the Black Panthers happened. The civil rights movement happened. All of this stuff happened. I'm sorry. The Upside Down and Demogorgons don't exist, and we all know that.
We don't know. We've never been to the Upside Down. We don't know.
It It never happens. But all this stuff happened, and they made this guy who, for what, who, why?
So I'm gonna stop poo-pooing on this for a second, and I am gonna say that the part of this movie that I do like is there is this very complicated history going on in the background, and if I can just take away Forrest's involvement with a lot of these events. I do like that this is a movie about him just wanting to take care of the people that he's around, that he loves, and that he cares about. If you want to make that movie, I'm all good with that. And Tom Hanks did an excellent job at that. You know, his Lieutenant Dan, and that entire story arc that you go through in this movie, how he goes to Vietnam, and he really respects his, you know, lieutenant, and blah, 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 blah. Even if you want to say, like, Forrest bringing him onto the boat and, like, giving him a reason to live, that's a really cool thing. If you want to do that, that's a really cool motivator for a lot of people who are mentally disabled to go, you can positively impact somebody else's life in that regard. You can give hope to somebody else even if you don't realize it. You can be like the beacon of hope, and you can give somebody else another chance at life. You can actually do that. All of this other nonsense, not really going to happen, but like if you find somebody and you care about them and you want to take care of them and you have the means to do it, absolutely go ahead and do it. And he does that throughout this movie with his mother, with Lieutenant Dan, with Jenny. And I love that. Even Bubba. Bubba's dead and he still took care. It went back and took care of his family. I like that. I thought that was a really cool thing for him to do. That part of the movie, that part of who Forrest Gump is, I just think that should have been the focal point of the story. Here you have a guy who, despite everything that's going on around him, doesn't really care. He just wants to take care of his friends and family. And he does. Without effort, without questioning why, without any kind of motivation, without expecting anything in return for himself. I think that's a fantastic story to tell. And I think that's the kind of thing that can give people with mental disabilities a lot of hope. You can do good in the world. You can affect somebody else's life. You can be a beacon of hope in life for somebody else. The movie didn't have to also rope in, also, you're going to expose Watergate, buddy. Yay! Like, that's absolutely, it's, no.
And I think to your point, too, if they put all these historical events in the background, kind of like Stranger Things puts the 80s in the background. It's the setting that they're in. They're not influencing it. It is influencing them.
I think
that would be a completely different movie versus he is the cause and reason for all of this stuff to happen in 30 years. Like,
you know what it would be like for me? You know what it would be like? One more thing. You know what it would be like for me? We haven't gotten to season 5 yet of Stranger Things. I don't know exactly what year that's going to take place, like current day wise, but it would be like 11 inadvertently blowing up the Challenger. Like if something like that happened, I would nope out of that show real fast.
Real fast.
Really fast. That would be a deal breaker for me if something like that happened, because it's so out of pocket and so unbelievable and ridiculous that absolutely not.
Or because like we've talked about in season 3 with like the whole Chernobyl thing, if the gate between us and upside
blows
down
up
caused
the, blows
Chernobyl.
Up the nuclear power plant,
what are we doing? That would be stupid.
I don't know.
And that's what happens in this movie.
Yeah, but I said everything that I wanted to say about what I did like about the movie with that. And Lee, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You now go.
I'm good.
Okay, you sounded like you wanted to say something.
No, there's lots of things I wanted to say. I mean, I still stand by what I said before. I think, somebody was creative, and they said, "How could we tie all these things in?" And as you know, you guys said, like, this is a nostalgia movie for the boomers.
Yeah,
good. Give them a chance into that. What I think is interesting, and this kind of goes back to like we've talked about other things. You know, when we did the Coen Brothers, and then we talked about Pineapple Express. It's this. Doing things in a way that's aloof, like not realizing what you're into and what you're involved in, you know, and that's the whole thing about this character, Forrest Gump, is not knowing what he's involved in. So all these people who witness this stuff happen are watching this movie, seeing all of these historical, you know, situations. Let's just, you know, for example, the Vietnam War. He's like, I don't know. We were always looking for this guy named Charlie, you know, like it's funny because he has no idea what he's doing. And everybody understood, oh, Charlie is what they called the Vietnamese, you know, soldiers. Charlie. Just because it was a nickname. Like, okay, yeah. Got it. And, but it's like, he doesn't realize that. So he's, because he's so aloof, he's downplaying all these major historical events. And it makes that humorous to people who are just like, but that's a big deal. How do you, he doesn't even know about that. Like, that's the humor. That's the part of it. Like, we see, when we're watching it, like, we see everything 2020. He sees, like, you know, 5-5 or, you know, whatever's bad. I don't know. But it's like, it's there. He's involved, but he's just so aloof, and it makes it humorous. So I wouldn't even call this movie a straight drama because of how ridiculous it is. It's more, if anything, it's more humorous.
Yeah, but what's her name on Fargo was aloof. He's not aloof.
He's aloof.
No, he's not. He's
just focused on his own and he's on his not, own stuff.
No, he's not aloof. He is completely 100% oblivious and ignorant to everything. He's not aloof. She was aloof. She had an understanding of what was going on. Like, she had some basic understanding of what was going on. He had zero understanding. Like, he doesn't even understand the concept of being a millionaire.
That, and that's the difference between somebody who is, you know, focused on everything that everybody else is focused on and somebody who's got a one-track mind. He has a one-track mind. Because of his autism, he focuses on what's in front of him, and everything else, like, it's out of his lane. He's like, oh, you know, they're doing some weird stuff over there, and I'm not sure what that's about, but I figured I'd let you know. All right,
which is on. Which is fine.
Now I'm going to go drink 15 Dr. Peppers, you know, right. And then show the guy my butt. Like, he just does his thing.
Right, and him doing his thing is fine. That's not the issue. It's the fact that him doing his thing with his one-track mind affects 30 years of history.
Absolutely. And that's what makes it ridiculous. That's it. It was just an entertaining movie. You've told me so many times, did you like the movie? Well, did you like the movie? And I say, I don't know yet. Well, I mean, you know if you like it or not. And I'm like, and then at the end, it just goes, is it entertaining? Yeah, it was entertaining. Like, I didn't watch this because I want this or that. What?
I will say that. I'm going to agree with Lee here. A few years ago, when you joined this, you were like, I can watch a movie just to watch it and love it. And Lee and I were the critical ones. Slowly, you're turning into us.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening. It's happening. And I've noticed that, like, over the past, like, few months. Like, you're becoming a little bit more analytical and critical with some of these movies. Like, I haven't heard you say, I can watch it just to watch it and love it. I haven't heard you say that in a while.
I still watch movies. So there are movies that I watch.
Yeah, but you watch movies, but you're watching them a little bit differently now after being around Lee and I for a while. There's something happening there.
I am, but I still like movie. Like today, I started watching Sean Connery and Richard Gere in First Night, which is a mid-90s film.
Mm-hmm.
The CG in the film, again, it's a 90s movie, so obviously it did not hold. I still enjoy the movie. But again, it's... When it's something that wasn't grounded in reality and it's not made to be in reality and you're tossed into this unrealistic world, I can understand that. There are movies that are bad that are, I'm just like, this is entertaining. I enjoy this. For me, this movie was neither entertaining or good.
Wow.
So, I mean, the acting was good, but the overall arching story wasn't, and it was not entertaining either. Now, if Lee wants to call it entertaining and he likes it, fine. I'm not going to rag on Lee for it. I'm not, and I feel like there's almost this emotion right now from Lee that we are picking on you because we don't like this movie.
No.
Because you're shutting down pretty quickly.
No, I haven't shut down. I'm saying the same things. I feel like when I make a point, you basically say, oh, okay, yeah, but that's not real. And I'm like, well, it is to me. And I'm like, and here's why. Again, I'll just keep repeating the same things. I'm like, I don't understand how this doesn't make sense because... All I'm saying is it's entertaining because it's ridiculous. Yet you're like, but it's not entertaining because it's ridiculous. And I'm like,
so the reason
but it is entertaining because it's ridiculous.
But the reason why I'm saying that is
maybe we should get in the habit of saying, like, in my opinion, Maybe that's the thing, because like yeah. I don't think either one of us are attacking you. But to your point, it does kind of come off a little. I can recognize that. So maybe moving forward, I'll like try a little bit harder to be like, you know what, Lee? In my opinion, this.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to like directly call you stupid or call you like I can't believe that you. No,
well,
not at all.
I mean,
that's not
stupid.
The point.
Is a stupid does.
Okay. So
what I'm saying is, if it's meant to be ridiculous, set it up in a realm where it's supposed to be ridiculous. You don't use real life historical events that are serious. Serious real life historical events, and you put this nonsensical stuff around it and you make it the cause of it. Now it is no longer entertaining because you're like, okay, two African Americans are going into a college for the first time, and I'm directly the cause of that.
Wait, how is he directly?
Well,
he wasn't directly
the cause of
no. He just happened. No,
of
no
but he was directly involved.
He was there.
Yeah, yes, he was involved.
All he did was give her a notebook. She
and
was
he's
walking
on
in anyway.
Camera, like,
yeah,
okay.
And
all
then,
right.
I love it because then the coach is like, "Hey, wasn't that Gump?" And he just like walks behind him and grabs a towel and walks off.
He's like, "It just if they had an event." Where they did that, and they do that in movies where there's, and if, like in Transformers, they do the whole moon landing is part of the movie, you know, that doing, or like in Doctor Who, where the moon landing was set up for the whole silence thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They took an event and they made a whole story around it. That's one thing. They took massive events over the course of three decades, and they made one guy the cause of all of it. They made it super realistic, yet none of it is realistic. When you're going to do a movie that is supposed to be fantastical, you make it fantastical, not realistic.
Or you change the event.
Or you change the event.
You alter the event in some way.
Like Inglourious Bastards.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Right. Yes. Yes.
Exactly.
That's actually a perfect example. Inglourious Bastards. Completely over-dramatize this and turn the dial up to 20. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's the right way. Yeah, okay, perfectly. That's the good way. That's the perfect way to do something like this. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yes. So I don't understand why, again, I watched this. It's a 30-year-old movie now.
So I'm going to say something right now, and it's going to really upset you because you don't understand the hype of this film. The movie, and we do this, we started doing this, you know, a couple of months ago. The movie had a budget of $55 million, and it grossed worldwide $678 million.
Wait,
this is
what?
Close to a billion-dollar movie. $678 million.
In the box office.
How much did... How much? Oh.
The budget was $55 million.
Oh, okay, and they made
$678 million.
That's insanity.
That is
outside
a lot
of
money,
right? Because outside of the war, not a lot of the
not a lot
outside of the war, not a lot of special effects.
No.
Except for
I mean,
the boat.
No, there are special effects. Actually, more than you think, because of you know all the stuff with the old TV stuff with Lieutenant Dan's legs. I remember seeing like footage like they had the green screen on his legs and everything to cut his legs off. And
yeah.
Actually, it was blue
true.
Back then.
What I'm saying is there's not a lot of special. It's not special effect heavy like movies are today.
No, it didn't need to be. It was just a ridiculous story. And they made a movie out of it.
I mean, kudos on them for being able to make that much money. I mean, 100%. That's impressive. That's impressive
more than 100%.
Alone. And it has
way
to be like
100%.
Yeah, a lot more than 100%. But it has to be like, yeah, like I said before,
well, it's like Lord of the
Boomers must have loved this. $678 million. That's insane.
Right. It's like Lord of the Rings. Each movie was a $94 million budget.
That's crazy.
And they all $94 million. And Lord of the Rings still is one of the best shot movies today compared to anything else.
You know,
and it's still, and they made all between all three of them, they made over $3 billion in the box office.
Yeah. On the special effects thing, really small thing, but at one point, you know, Mama is dying. She's got the cancer, you know, so she's over here.
Got the diabetes.
So she's got the cancer and she's like, I'm dying, Forrest. You know, she goes through her whole thing. Her old makeup didn't look bad. It was subtle enough, but it still did the job.
You're talking about Sally Fields?
Sally Field, yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought they did a pretty good job with that. Like, they didn't have anything in there that was, the way things looked, visually, this movie was not unrealistic. Things looked very well done visually.
Yes. No, it looked it looked good. I'm not gonna take that away from Zemeckis at all. It looked fantastic.
So the scene where he's running out and, you know, he gets you know, shot in the butt, or, you know, when he's pulling Bubba out and they're just napalming the whole thing and he's running.
Okay, see, and this is this is a problem that I have on a completely different level.
Mm-hmm.
You're having everybody on that beach is either going to suffocate or have massive lung problems.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what it's like to breathe in mustard gas? Like, mix up bleach and pneumonia and tell me how you're feeling after a couple of minutes. You're either going to be coughing up blood in a hospital or you're going to be dead. I don't care.
Yeah.
That's that part of the movie. I was like, everything else aside, I'll take the rewriting of history over something like that. Like, you're running away from a napalm explosion. You just breathed in a ton of mustard gas, buddy. Like, you should not be running. You should be, like, collapsed, waiting, or dead. I'm sorry. I'm done.
Yeah. I don't know. What
you don't realize is there's a part two, and he actually ended the Cold War.
Oh.
Yep.
He caused all, you know, throughout the 90s, you know, he actually introduced Bill Clinton to Monica Lewinsky.
Inadvertently.
Oh, my God. I love Bill Clinton. I'm sorry. I love Bill Clinton.
All of these things throughout history is all because of Forrest Gump.
Well, so maybe there's a deleted scene. the extended cut of Forrest Gump.
So one big thing that gets me, I mean, you could negate the entire rest of the movie, but the end of the movie,
okay,
when Forrest meets his son.
Is that his son?
It's his son.
Do you believe that's his son?
Time made sense. They were together 3 years. Hold on. I'll tell you exactly how long went by. It was 3 years, 2 months, 14 days, and 16 hours is how long he ran. This kid's about 4.
No, he's not.
He's like, he's about 4 and he's super smart.
He's like 6 or 7.
He wasn't even going to school yet. Not until after Jenny died. So, like, his first day of school was on the bus after Jenny was gone, so...
No, that was not his first day of school, because he knew the bus driver.
He knew that because he told her it was Dorothy Harris. That was the whole point. Old makeup was bad, actually, by the way, because as a kid, I thought that was Dorothy Harris's daughter that was driving the bus.
And how did he know it was her if that was his first day?
Forrest told her, I don't know, or he, like, got documentation about who the bus driver was because it was, like, the 80s and things changed. I don't know.
I have a different question about this. How you're still mentally coherent after driving a school bus full of screaming kids for 30 years is beyond me.
She deserves
an award just for that alone. I couldn't do it.
Okay, now I'm just going to get to my only point here, which is when he sees his son and, you know, he's like, you did nothing wrong. You know, what do you think? And he goes, he's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And he starts welling up and he's asking, is he smart or is he... And he starts, like, pointing to himself, like me. His big concern was, is he going to deal with what I dealt with? Like, is he dumb like me? And I don't understand how anybody could have a dry eye at that point, you know, watching that part of the movie. You can negate the rest of it, but that's the way that he acted that. And you can see him go through it, and he just goes and sits with them, and then, you know, whatever. And he goes through the whole conversation when he's talking to Jenny, you know, at the gravesite. You know, And he's just going through, like, you know, what it's like being with his son. And it's like, I don't know how you can keep a dry eye on that. His the way he acted that and the way that it came out, like, he didn't have to say the words. You understood what it was. And it gives you a deeper insight into this character where it's like he was able to hold his own and go through everything despite the challenges that he had his entire life. Because he did have severe autism.
So let me ask you this question. Aside from being made fun of by the public school auditor, mm-hmm. what challenges did Forrest Gump have?
Being made fun of by everybody else, rocks thrown at him, chased down with a car, like everything else he faced, and everybody who just doubted him his whole life.
So he had the challenge of people making fun of him. Okay, so people made fun of him, which happens to everybody.
Uh-huh.
Outside of that, Vietnam was not a challenge for him. Ping pong was not a challenge for him. Teaching people how to do crazy things was not a challenge for him. Shrimping became overnight super easy for him.
Well, I mean, shrimping ain't easy.
I got to push back on you a little bit. I think you're underestimating the ridicule that you get from people.
Yeah.
I think that's mentally taxing. It's not outright spoken in this movie, but it's a lot. Like, when you have everybody mm-hmm. in the world who's, like, pointing at you and saying, you're the problem, you can't do this, you can't do blah, 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 this happened mm-hmm. because of you, you're an idiot. If you've been hearing that your whole life, that, I don't care how smart or dumb you are, that's going to leave some emotional
scar. Yeah, but when you're...
I understand.
Potentially, but when you're dealing with autism to that degree, it doesn't faze you the same way it would you or I.
Are you autistic, Chuck?
They know.
I don't understand how you can say that.
I don't.
I honestly don't think you have the right to say that.
They know. They know. They there's no
they
way.
They have it to a degree. Yes, they know. I said to the level of you or I. They don't to the level of you or I.
It still hurts.
Of course it
does. It's still going to hurt you emotionally when everybody else around you is saying.
Of course it will.
Is calling you an idiot. 100%. So I
100%.
Yeah. Okay.
But here's the thing though, is when you're that oblivious to literally everything else and you are one-tracked mind with this one thing, Jenny, and yet the only other thing in life is going to be that's why they made it a point to say, I may not be smart, but I know what love is.
Yeah.
They made it a point to say that because they wanted to try and show that, oh, he does have emotions. But they're saying it one way through one side of their face when doing it. I have a nephew who is Down syndrome. And there are times where he has emotion and he feels things, but does he feel it the same way you or I do? No, that's not a put down. It's just reality. It's like saying
the emotions exist and they're the same level as anybody else.
Yeah.
The difference is the understanding of of what's really going on,
so
to do with it.
That's what I'm trying to say is he may have the emotions, but he has no way of trying to sit there and figure out why am I
He goes for a run.
That's what I'm trying to say is because of it, he overcomes everything. Even when he's in the dorm room with Jenny and she makes him touch her chest and he does what he does. He has no idea what he's feeling. He has no idea what's going on. He has zero clue. He's oblivious to it. Is he feeling it? Yes. Does he know exactly what he's feeling?
No.
That's all I'm saying. He doesn't know how to categorize his emotions.
That's not an emotion. That was a...
I'm sorry. There's no emotion behind that.
No, there's emotion, but
he had zero clue what was going on.
Limbic response, but
look, I'm gonna say this, and I'm admitting to something here. When I was in middle school, when I was in high school, I was a jerk. I was not the best person. I was horrible, and I made fun of a lot of people that I shouldn't have made fun of. They know. They feel it. they understand what's going on. They're not they're not that far gone and that dumb that they don't know that that group of people over there, they're making fun of me. They know.
So hold on 1 second.
But that's a different question.
Hold on 1 second. I'm not saying that they're not feeling it. And Lee, somehow, some way, you got to stop taking this conversation personal. Because you're taking it very personal right now. All I'm saying right now is that, yes, he felt these emotions. However, he doesn't know how to... He doesn't know what to do with them, so
he
shuts.
Doesn't.
He has no idea how to handle these things.
He
ran. Yes, yeah. He runs. But that's what I'm trying to say is he.
You said he doesn't feel emotions.
I did not say he doesn't feel emotions. I said he doesn't know how to.
The same way that we do is what you
said. I said he doesn't know how to handle his emotions the same way.
No, that is
you
what
or I
said. You were saying.
That's what I meant then. He doesn't know how to handle.
That's very different.
And when I say feel them, he's feeling them, but he doesn't know what he's feeling. Just like
he doesn't know how to process it.
But he feels it. He doesn't know what he's feeling though. When that happened in the car, in the dorm room, he doesn't know what's happening. So he's feeling it. It's like, yes. It's like when you're, there's a part, like when you get, Novocaine somewhere and you touch it, you can feel it, but you're like, I can feel it, but I don't know exactly what I'm feeling.
Right.
There is a numbing of the emotion where you feel it, yes. But however, you're sitting there going, I don't know why I'm feeling this. I don't know what's causing this. I don't know where it's coming from. The correlation is there, but it's not there. Like he had an understanding that I touched her physically. This happened.
Okay, let's take the conversation to a different place though, because we're talking about his emotion. After Bubba dies, you don't really see him feel that. He just goes right back to regular old Forrest Gump, and he's excited about ice cream.
And excited to do shrimping.
Well, ping pong. Ping pong comes next.
When he's in the moment, he feels it, and then it's gone. Because he doesn't know how to fully process it and how to experience it and how to let it sit, except for one thing, Jenny. Because that's something that happened at an early age and it stuck, which that right there is a common thread for people who are autistic. It's Raymond was a kid thing that happened and it stuck with him forever. And that is a thread that always was there that he connected back to his childhood. Same thing here. Outside of that, it's in the moment. I'm feeling it. I don't know why. Outside of the moment, it's gone. It's gone. Because it's because the emotions are not connected the same way that they are for you and I. And that's not putting anybody down.
No, it just sounds like a really big assumption, Chuck. I don't think you have the right to say it.
Okay, so then
you're making an assumption and you're saying it is a fact. And I'm sorry, I have to disagree with you.
Okay.
I don't believe that what you're saying is.
So then do me a favor in this conversation. Disagree. And divorce yourself from the personal attack that you're feeling right now.
It's not a personal attack. I feel like you're personally attacking other people and stating it as fact when it's just your opinion and your thought.
Personally, you are taking this right now. Your whole body language and everything about you is taking this as a personal attack. I know you, and I watch. Tell me I'm wrong, Will.
I'm not gonna say that you're wrong.
Your entire demeanor, Lee, has shifted because I made a statement based on...
But, I think Lee has every right in the world to feel the way that he's feeling right now because he worked in this field for a really long time. I do. That's where I'm gonna come down on.
I did too.
I think he.
And I have a bachelor's degree in it all. I have a bachelor's degree in it. I worked in the field for years.
Okay.
So I have experience too.
Okay. I'm gonna sit this one out then, because I'm the one in the room that doesn't know what
he's
talking about.
I'm sitting here saying that I'm not putting them down. I'm saying that my 12-year-old nephew is emotionally and mentally stuck at the age of 2.5 to 3.
Right.
There's
so.
He is not autistic.
This is, he's got Down syndrome. It's
Yeah.
This is different because this person is neither autistic nor the Forrest Gump neither has autism nor was he diagnosed with like any kind of Down syndrome. I don't think that's what's going on.
Yeah, well, back then they didn't diagnose people. They just said that, yeah.
No, he was autistic. There wasn't a name for it.
Fine.
Right.
Fine. But like the level that he's at, I don't think you can't. I don't think the level that he's at in this movie, I don't think you can attach to anything. He's functional. I don't think that you can attach that to anything else, like real world at all. I think that's kind of unfair. That's number one. Number two, this goes into I think is a problem with the movie, and it goes back to what I was saying earlier, is this feeling the right type of person with a lot of like false hope. Because this person, Forrest Gump, does not adequately like depict anybody who would ever be in that situation.
Well, this
is not a direct map on.
Look at our childhood. Every time we went somewhere, all we got from our childhood was you can be anything you want to be. It wasn't like, you know, there was no, oh, well, you know, you've got limitations, so you can't do any of this. No, the time that we grew up in, you know, which was the mid-90s as well, the whole focus was you can do anything you put your mind to. You could be anything. You could be the president of the United States. You could be an astronaut. You could, you know, be a fireman.
That's what they said.
Yeah,
That's what they said. That's not what they taught. They taught us how to be workers. They did not teach us. They did not teach us how to be individuals. They taught us how to be workers. So there's a difference there between what they said and what they thought.
Well, that's different. You're right. But I'm saying that was their message, and they were shoving it down everybody's throats by saying, "Look, even Forrest Gump did this. You're gonna say you're dumber than him? You could be the president."
Fine. In that regard, I agree with you. Look, Forrest Gump did it. You can't. What's wrong with you? Okay, fine.
Yeah.
If that's a message of the movie, perfect.
It wasn't.
So what were your thoughts?
It kind of was
Lieutenant
though.
Dan?
No, hang on. It kind of was though. That is kind of the message of the movie if you really want to think about it. Forrest Gump can do it. Why can't you?
Just another way to put down the rest of America. But what were your thoughts on Lieutenant Dan getting engaged to a Vietnamese woman? I mean, I want to talk about Lieutenant Dan because twice he made so. Oh no, when was that? Hold on, I gotta check. I think I'm way off.
If you're gonna talk about Apollo 13.
I am. Okay. So Apollo 13 was the year later.
Yeah.
So they 95? Must have been shooting both of them together because Maybe. He makes two quotes. He says, "The day that you're a shrimp boat captain, that's the day I'm an astronaut." You know, and there were a few other times he said something like that. And then later on, he's like, "Titanium alloy, what they use on the space shuttle, you know, that's what his legs are made out of." And unless like, and he's like smiling like, haha, it's a joke because the
so
two of them were both
so
in Apollo 13.
There was a
together.
Plug for Apollo 13 inside of
yes.
Forrest Gump.
Yes, absolutely. There's no way around it. It was a nod to get ready for next summer.
I could see that. I could see that.
Absolutely.
Did the same
that
writers
was...
and directors do both movies?
I don't believe so. No,
Zemeckis didn't do Apollo 13.
Well,
they
might have.
I don't think he did.
No.
Did he know that he was doing it?
Producers? Maybe.
Oh, I'm sure he knew. I'm sure he knew. I mean, actors, they get contracts years in advancement. I'm sure he knew what he was going to be working on next.
Yeah, I can see that now. Hey, directors, writers, I'm doing a movie in a year. Can I do a plug with
it?
One of the lines?
If it's from the same production company or somebody connected in the producer, they could totally do that. And be like,
probably.
Hey, can you just throw this line in there?
Probably.
Honestly, there's always connections here and there and everywhere. Yeah. He just did it. And they're like, oh, yeah. I'm like, wait a second.
So Lieutenant Dan does have the most growth in this film.
Oh, it's amazing.
100%, yes.
I mean, like his character.
That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about Lieutenant Dan for a second because the whole thing was his whole family.
Dead.
They all died in every American war.
Sure.
Like, that was it. Like, every single American war, somebody died. So he's expecting... Here I go. I'm gonna die, you know, out in the field and, you know, a hail of gunfire. Like, that's what he expected. So when his legs are gone and Forrest picks him up, like, this is the worst thing you could be doing. This is my destiny. Leave me alone. Get out of here and save yourself. And he just blames him for everything because for the next however many years that go by, now he's just a crippled dude. And he didn't die where he was supposed to die. And now he's just like, what can he contribute to society at all?
I love when he's outside the television studio. They gave you the Congressional Medal of Honor. Yeah. You.
A moron. And then, but then you see him like, you know, still trying to be tough or whatever. And just like, he goes all the way down the ramp into a dumpster.
So this is this right here brings me back to what we were just talking about. Lieutenant Dan is sitting here ripping him apart.
Absolutely.
And what is Forrest Gump's response?
He was just in the military with him. He was told to just do what you're told.
What was his response? Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
I guess they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then he walks away.
Yeah.
That's
great.
It.
Yep.
No emotion. No connectivity to that. Lieutenant Dan is ripping him apart, and he's just like, well, the fact is they did. Yep, I'm good. Walk away.
Uh-huh.
Nothing. That is what I'm talking about right there. That is the connectivity that's missing with him.
It does something. You're right. But it does do something with Lieutenant Dan, though. Like, later on when they're in the hotel room and they got the women.
True.
Don't call him stupid. That was...
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
100%. The whole shift to Lieutenant Dan is fantastic. Yeah. I'm just saying that whenever he feels it, because you see it on his face, he's like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like he shrugs, it's like, nope, I'm just good. Like, I don't know what this is, so I'm just going to keep going.
Yeah.
That's the processing it, the understanding of it, they feel it. They don't. fully understand it, and there are different levels of it. There are
to do with it.
There are those who are autistic that can experience it, understand it, and express it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are those who are way worse than him. Like, I would say Dustin Hoffman's Rain Man was on a way different level.
Yeah.
Than Tom Hanks' character.
Right.
Yeah.
He would be on a complete. Like, he really couldn't understand emotion. I'm not saying that under, and if I said that they don't know how to feel, I apologize for that. What I'm saying is they don't fully understand it the way you or I do. They don't know what to do with it.
That's all it comes down to. They don't know what to do with it. They feel it. It hits them, but they don't know what to do with it. So they hyper focus.
Isn't that everybody?
Yes.
All three of us are going to respond to the exact same thing differently. One of us might cry, one of us might be happy, one of us might be, you know, monotone about it. Like, that's that's everybody.
But mm-hmm. the only thing that he ever emotes over in this film...
Is Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a connectivity... Not like
I don't
this.
Remember in the movie if he cried when his mother died.
Not the same.
Okay.
I mean, he was sad.
Yeah. But he's, like, bawling at her grave and everything.
Yeah.
At Jenny's grave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like because there was a lifelong connect for him, there was a lifelong connection. And that's the emotion that he could connect with because since I was a kid, she was the only one that really took me in, that really liked me.
Yeah.
My mom did. Jenny did.
His mom had to. I mean,
right. Bubba.
Bubba.
Kind of had to.
Was Bubba was kind of the same though. Bubba and him were kind of like he wasn't that smart in the movie. He just knew shrimp. That's all Bubba knew.
He knew what he knew.
I love the drill sergeant. What's wrong with your lips? What's wrong with your lip?
I got big gum, sir.
I got big gum, sir.
Yeah.
Better tuck that in. Cut on the tripwire.
It was
unbelievable.
But my favorite. I didn't catch as a kid. It was like, oh, my name is Benjamin Buford Blue, but people call me Bubba. Believe that. Bubba, just like one of them redneck boys. Like, they call him Bubba, so he's just like, why do they call me Bubba? I don't know, but that's what they call me, and therefore, go ahead and call me Bubba. But, yeah, that whole thing, the relationship there, like, he was his best friend. They were like peas and carrots.
Sure.
You know?
No,
sure.
Him and Jenny were like peas and carrots.
I know. Aww.
He was his best good friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know. I think the other thing too is, I mean, do not confuse this. Do not think that I'm comparing this to The Chosen in any other way, except for a lot of this is the people are affected by him, right? It's about the people who were affected by him. Not so much about him, but the people who were affected by him. Lieutenant Dan had his change, you know, like, that's crazy. You know, the people on you know, sitting there on the bench, like the first lady on the bench there, you know, she's like some nurse or whatever with the comfortable shoes. She doesn't want it. She's annoyed by him. He keeps talking and she's like, yeah, okay. And then when the bus comes, she's like, oh, I'm sorry. My bus just got here. And she leaves reluctantly by the end.
I think she was just being polite.
No.
I think the lady who was like, I can get another bus. She's the one who wanted to stay.
Well, that's because the story kept on going and we were all kind of getting invested. It's just a, you know, movie thing that they did it that way. You could tell that it was a difference there. Because she could just be like, I got to go by and just walk off if she didn't care anymore. But she was actually getting somewhat invested as he was telling the story. And I think that's the progression of the people.
See, the part I don't get is the very last person who is just as invested as the first person when he didn't hear the first 2/3 of the story.
Yeah.
Why is he so invested?
Because it's just...
He's infectious.
Movie. Because of movie.
I guess, yeah, he's infectious. He got away.
Maybe this is a deleted scene.
Sure. Maybe there's a deleted scene. But yeah, speaking about, you know, the end of this movie, and everything that like kind of wraps up and comes back around with Jenny.
It actually gave me a sick feeling to my stomach when I watched this whole thing.
Yeah, she full on uses him.
When I first watched this, I was like, oh, that was, when I watched it this time, I was like, she full on used him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She full-on uses him. I seriously doubt whether or not that is actually his child. I just think that he's clearly, like, the best person for the job because he loves her so much. That's the only reason why that happened. And it's the only reason why she goes home with him is because she's sick and she's dying. You know what I mean? Like, she's not going to be around much longer. So it's like, well, I might as well let him take care of me before I die so that he'll take care of my son. Like, okay, it's...
Do you think that he understood that?
No. No.
That she's the only reason why she asked me to marry her is because she goes, Forrest, I'm sick.
Mm-hmm.
She does not say, I don't think she says dying.
She just says I'm sick.
Yeah. Yep.
I have a virus that they don't know what it's about. Will you marry me? Yeah. She knows it's terminal.
Mm-hmm. She knows she's going to die. She knows 100% that she's going to die.
Doesn't tell him.
Nope.
Says, I'm sick. Will you marry me?
Yeah. After
5 years prior to that, he asked her and she's like, I'll sleep with you, but I won't marry you.
Oh, yeah. She didn't say that at first.
She's like, you don't want to marry me.
You don't want to marry me.
I don't know. I have mixed feelings when it comes to Jenny in that regard. Like, yeah, she's super shady, and she's, like, scuzzy for doing what she did to Forrest, just, like, using him and everything like that, but, like, everything with her backstory and, like, clearly, like, the movie is trying to, like, tell you that, you know, she had kind of a handsy-touchy father without coming right out and saying that she had a handsy-touchy father, like, and then the whole rocks thing at the end, and he demolished the house and blah, blah, blah. Like, that kind of makes you look at her differently, but it's, like...
Right.
Yeah, if you watch it with subtitles, as she's throwing rocks, she kept saying things along
this?
The lines of, how could you do these things?
Yeah.
How could you do all those things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, though, is if they did with Forrest Gump what they did with Jenny, where she was a part of all of these movements, but was in the background of all of it, or it was in the background of all of what she, like, she was attending these things, but not influencing
them. Well, I mean, that did happen
them.
A couple of times, but...
The White House?
She was a...
Well, there was not the White House, but
Black they Panthers. Were in D.C. and they were at the Washington Monument.
No, the Lincoln Memorial.
The Lincoln. No, because you saw the big thing. Well, I thought that was
The Washington Monument is way down. It's like actually across the looking pond there, or whatever, and then like across the street
when she runs into the middle.
You can You can see it in the same place.
It's on your left. It's where.
Yeah.
Steve Rogers is running around the...
They're in D.C., and he, for whatever reason, is in uniform giving a speech about anti-war, and there is Jenny, they run, and they hug, and the whole crowd erupts, and like, yay! Like,
you have to admit that's hilarious. He just happened to bump into these people, and they thought that he was, like, the speaker.
An activist?
Like, and they're all just like, it's so good that you're doing this, man. He's like, what? And then he... Okay, and it's still...
How he's not immediately discharged for this is something else beyond, that's beyond me.
But the best part about it, he goes up there and he says, so there's lots I could say about the war in Vietnam. And then all of a sudden, like, the entire speech is ruined by some angry general who just unplugs all the cables.
Yeah.
It's just all a bunch of quarter-inch cables. And then as soon as they get it back in, and that's all I got to say about that. It's like the entire thing. And the only person who heard it was the dude next to him.
Yeah.
And he's like, that was beautiful, man. I just, that's, it's funny to me. It was well put together. I just think that that was, like, all the dumb stuff that happened, it was humorous.
I am glad that you liked this movie.
Okay, so I'm, am I.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm glad you liked this movie.
I am genuinely happy that you like this movie as much as you do. And I'm sorry that I don't. I wish I had like your enthusiasm about this film. But there's just a lot of things that I can't overlook.
Yep.
Anyways.
No, I agree.
Okay.
Yeah. Shuck. Oh yeah. Young Jenny is younger than you.
Wow. Unbelievable.
She was born in 84. Okay. Well, anyway, I think we're, I mean, aside from it being,
you know what,
super
Chuck? You know
late,
what, Chuck? He might be making fun of you for your age, but I think both of us can say that you're probably in better shape than both of us combined.
Oh, absolutely.
So there's that. I mean, you said before you go to the gym and you, you know, you lost a whole bunch of weight, you're doing good, you're healthy, and I'm not. I'm not healthy at all, so there's that.
Yeah, I mean, I just look like Jim Hopper.
Yeah.
So, in many ways. Anyway, yep.
Yep.
You, I'm like, okay, I know that the robot vacuum is doing its thing, probably getting broken because the kids didn't clean up the mess. Anyway, I think we're toast with this. So, yeah, I think we have a pretty good grasp on how everybody feels about this. So I guess we don't have to wrap it up. We can just say goodbye. So we will catch you guys next time. And yeah, thanks for joining us for this wonderful adventure.
Okay. Bye.
See ya.
Bye, everyone.